Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. Then he begged him not to order them to go back to the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The Gospel of our Lord. You know, our modern sophisticated minds might have trouble with Bible passages that refer to demons. They are mentioned many times in Scripture. Perhaps if we expand our understanding of this concept of demons, that might help us. Now, this is not to deny possession by demons as understood in the ancient terms, but rather it is to broaden out our understanding. When I first came up to the Hudson Valley in 1987, I met a young man who many would have called possessed. What had a hold on him was cocaine. He lost his job, his house, his family. Everything. And when I met him, he was celebrating 1 year of being clean, liberated from the demon that almost destroyed his life. His face just glowed with joy when he told me that his life had been restored with his healing. He got his job back, and then his family, and he was able to buy them another home. And now he was thanking God for his liberation. You know, there are many ways that demons move into our lives. Sometimes we're aware of them, and sometimes we may not be. There are demons that possess individuals, such as addictions, mental and emotional illness, hatred, jealousy, and greed, just to name a few. And there are demons that possess communities or societies or even nations, such as racism, sexism, heterosexism, homophobia, political oppression, and other systemic evils. Many of us here have experienced World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and Afghanistan. All of us are living through Ukraine-Russian conflict. We are living through a time of growing violence and an awareness of how violence and white supremacy and political polarity all have such a grip on our country, and our heads are spinning. To get to our passage for today, it's interesting that the name of the demon possessing this poor man is named Legion. This name is highly symbolic because you will remember that Israel was under the rule of the Roman Empire then. A legion, in military terms, consisted of 4,000 to 6,000 soldiers. That's a lot of soldiers. And there were a lot of demons in this man. The Roman rule was oppressive, and people suffered in many ways: physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. It took its toll on people, much as oppression does that to people today. Today, we would say that they suffered from PTSD. With sound effects, even. You know, just like so many in our world do today, you know, PTSD. The people of Jesus' time lived under the domination of evil forces, and this man may have been one of its victims. He was an outcast in his community, not in his right mind, living naked in a graveyard. People were afraid of him. Now, this town across the lake from Galilee was a Gentile town. Now, for Jesus even to be near this man would have made him unclean. And yet, he had hardly met this man when he mercifully commanded the demon to leave him. Notice that the demon recognized who Jesus was. He fell down and he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" I mean, even the Jewish folks from across the lake had trouble recognizing who Jesus was, and some of them were even his followers. And yet this evil force knew exactly who it was dealing with: the Son of the Most High God. This destructive force knew that it had no power comparable to the power of Jesus. These demons were afraid too. They begged Jesus not to send them back to where they had come, that abyss, to be tortured. Now, it's interesting to note that Jesus sent them into a herd of swine, a forbidden food for the Jew, and the swine drowned. Now, that's reminiscent of the drowning of the Egyptians in the Red Sea. The evil was banished. The man was restored in all ways, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, so completely healed that he wanted to follow Jesus. And you didn't read that in scripture this morning, but Jesus said to him, "No, I have other plans for you. I want you to go home, and I want you to spread the news of how you've been healed," giving people hope for their own healing. And this was just what these folks needed. You know, and I say this because notice the town folks' reaction to the man's healing. You know, they wanted Jesus to leave them, for they were gripped with a great fear. So what were they afraid of, we wonder? What were they afraid of? Well, one thing we can say for sure is that this healing was expensive. You know, after all, a whole herd of expensive pigs is drowned, and this was an economic loss. Perhaps Jesus would see the demons within each of them, and it would cost them something to have these evil forces exorcised from them. Things they would have to give up. Deeply held opinions that would have to go. You know, hatred, violence, anger, addictions, you name it. We all can. We want to hold on to our pet demons. We hold them tightly. I'm reminded of the tale of two wolves, and some of you may have heard it, but it goes like this. A an old Cherokee Indian chief was teaching his grandson about life. He said, "A fight is going on inside me," he told the young boy. "A fight between two wolves. One wolf is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." Grandfather continued, "The other wolf is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you, grandson, and inside of every other person on the face of this earth." The grandson pondered this for a moment and then asked, "Grandfather, which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee smiled and simply said, "The one you feed. The one you feed." Today, we celebrate Juneteenth Day, and as well as remembering the murder of the Emmanuel Nine. Now, even though systemic slavery is over, racism is not. We have come some on this journey, but we have a long way to go. Racism is so much a part of our society that many times we're not even aware of how we participate in its perpetuation. You know, I for one am still learning, and I'm so grateful for the few black and brown friends that I have in my life, because I know that it's only through building relationships with people not like me that I will allow a chance for God to exorcise what is so deeply rooted in me and in the world in which I am a part. Moreover, perhaps we need to use the same method in dealing with all others who hold different positions than we do. You know, one of the most wonderful gifts that our good Lord has given us humans is the gift of communication. Using our listening skills and our choice of words carefully can work miracles. Sometimes we just make matters worse when we promote divisiveness and persecution of others. Deeply embedded in us, there is a yearning for God and for wholeness. Thomas Merton says that God wishes to call this hidden wholeness forth from us. It is this hidden wholeness that enables those who were once possessed by demons to be clothed and restored to their right mind. This includes us. When I was in Port Ewan, there was a fire department one block away. When that whistle went off, you didn't talk, because no one heard. You're not going to hear me either if I try to compete with that stuff, right? So, you know, we're included in this description of this hidden wholeness and God's desire to draw that forth from us, because when that happens, it heals our fears and it enables us to see the holiness and the wholeness in others. I can remember doing chaplaincy work at a state psychiatric hospital. And my supervisor taught us that no one is entirely out of their minds. Patients in that hospital had healthy parts to them, and it is to these parts that we relate, that we draw forth the hidden wholeness, that holiness within them. You know, it was liberating and empowering for me to approach my ministry there with that in mind. You know, and it is still liberating and empowering for me to use this approach when talking with people of another whole mindset or to the powers and principalities of our world, another whole mindset. Now, this kind of communication directed to that wholeness in each person drives out fear and hatred and brings forth the healing powers of God in each person and the community. As followers of our Lord, we know that Jesus Christ has the power to cast out whatever demon is possessing us or another person. We are invited, as the community of the Church of Jesus Christ, to name the powers of evil that invade our own person, those we love, the stranger, our community, our country, and our world. This is our mission. So go forth into this broken world of ours with the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Speak truth in ways that can be heard. Speak love in words and actions. Nourish the good within you. Live in peace and with justice so that the world may know wholeness that is hidden deep within each person. And help God to draw that wholeness forth, that transformation and healing may happen. Proclaim to all what God has done for you and what God can do for all people. Amen.